today.
Are you tired of living with stained and worn out carpeting? Does the den look like bears spent the winter with you? Spring is here, and so is Empire Today's half-off your project sales, starting now, but only for a limited time. Save 50% on a huge selection of carpet, hardwood, and laminate, standard padding and materials, and basic installation. Call the Empire Today half-off your project sale hotline now.
1-855-385-0681.
Empire Today's free in-home estimates are easy and smart. Choose from high-quality flooring in the rooms where you'll use them, with your lighting, so you can see the color best. We'll do the measuring. You do the selecting and saving. But first, you must do the calling. Everyone loves the half-off your project sale. Even bears. Call the Empire Today special hotline.
1-855-385-0681. 1-855-385-0681.
Empire
Today. Select styles. Details at empiretoday.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, once again, we say thank you, and we also say welcome, and welcome to the PIF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also sitting at the table is Sister Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama, to those of you who have been listening before. So, Mama, how are you doing this evening?
Mama's doing fine, thank you. How are you, my son?
We are doing very, very well, doing very, very well. Well, tonight, for those of you who may be listening to us for the first time, I know that I say this every week because we really don't know who God is sending across the airwaves to be able to listen to the PIF table each and every week, but we just know that there are a lot of you out there listening, so we definitely want to say thank you for your listenership, thank you for your followership, and just being a part of what God is doing in his kingdom. Last week, we were talking about a couple of questions on the survey, and just to recap for just a quick second, one of the things that God has led us to do is just take a little different direction here on the PIF table, and what we've been discussing for, this is going on our sixth week tonight, financial resources is where we're talking about, specifically on needs, availability, and effectiveness. So we're looking at financial resources, and we're asking the question, or we're throwing out statements or thoughts or ideas or what's in our hearts and what's in your heart about what are the needs that are out there when it comes to financial resources. And in addition to that, what is the availability of the different resources that are out there? And most especially, in some respects, I would say, how effective are these resources that are being made available to you? And I explained to everybody that there are three different surveys that we have. One is an analysis of resources that are made to people of religious organizations. So those of us who go to church, a synagogue, a mosque, whatever type of religious organization that you may belong to, we're asking questions, we're putting out information to say, what type of resources? Let us analyze what is being made available to you as a member of some type of religious or faith-based body. And then the other one is the type of resources that are being made available by religious leaders. So those of us who are ministers and pastors and rabbis and imams and whatever the case may be in as far as a leadership position in some type of religious or faith-based organization, what type of resources are we making available to you who are within our sphere of membership or attendance? And then the other one is for those who may not go to church or a synagogue or to a mosque or are not involved in religion at all or don't want anything to do with the body of Christ, you know, all of those. And what about individuals who are part of nonprofit organizations or community type of organizations that have a pulse on the community and also know what type of needs are out there for people within their own specific community. So we had that one survey to capture all of the rest of those individuals, not as if one is more important than the other, but all of them just have a little bit different aspects, right? So we're asking questions on those as well. But where we've been at for the last 6 weeks is really just focusing on comprehensive analyzing resources that are made available to religious organizations. And last week we were talking about question 16 on the survey. We were dealing with what type of formats are used in addressing financial-related needs or concerns. So let me put a plug in right here. If you're listening to the show for the first time and you hear us talking about question number 16 on the survey, then that lets you know that there are some other questions that we've already kind of discussed. So if you go onto Blog Talk Radio and you go and look up We Speak Radio, that's the network that we're on Blog Talk Radio. And you'll see you can do a search for the PRF table. You can also do a search for financial resources. And you'll see financial resources, needs, availability, and effectiveness shows 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 because we meet every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So Sister Marianne or Mama, last week we were talking about what type of formats. And it was a very interesting and very good conversation for all those who were sitting at the table with us. And we were talking about there's training courses out there. There's small groups, and then y'all really honed in on the small group part of it. There's DVDs as one format, conferences, Bible studies, one-on-one counseling. Y'all really honed in on that one as well. Sunday school for the Christian tradition, I would say. And we talked about those resources. And we talked about those are just formats that are out there that are made available to us within religious organizations. Now, here's the thing. Every religious organization may not have all six of those things that I just mentioned.
Yes.
All religious organizations may only have, some religious organizations may only have one of those resources that is where that particular body focuses on how they address financial related needs or concerns. So if my particular church, let's put it in my tradition of Christianity. As a Christian, if my church uses Sunday school and Bible study, then the thing that is important is that everybody knows that this is the format that if you want to get some type of understanding about the type of resources that's made available to the church, then you come to these two formats. But if you don't come to these two formats, and then you can't be an informed Christian and say that the church, my religious organization, my church is not providing financial resources or resources to address financial related needs because you never come.
Right.
You have to be a willing, all of us, we have to be willing participants. And I believe when you were doing your recap last week, you talked about, you know, one area that you received blessings from our conversation was recognizing that you had a hindrance of pride because there are so many things that you have gone back over the week since we've been doing this show going on our 6 week with this particular topic or theme, and you found out pride was your hindrance. And I have to say, that took a lot of honesty, but somebody needed to hear that because maybe somebody else out there of the hundreds of listeners that listen to this show, we thank them for it. Maybe that was somebody else that was dealing with pride. And the reality is, pride is a spirit that is not of God.
Right.
So, as we know and recognize that pride is not a spirit of God, then that means that there is a barrier there because you can't have pride and be still in the same presence with God. Light and darkness cannot occupy the same space. So that means there is a barrier there. And so for you just being open and honest about it, that was breaking down a barrier all within itself.
Right. Uh-huh.
So one of the things that we're going to do tonight, let's just put out the question that is out there. And for those of you who are listening, right now, if you want to jump into the conversation, then all you have to do is just press 1 on your telephone if you're listening by telephone. And if not, you can go to the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, go into the post for tonight's show, July the 10th, and post your question there, and we will read them on the air and just discuss them. So tonight's question is this. Number 15, identify all the people involved in addressing financially related needs to members of your religious organization. identify all the people involved in addressing financially related needs to members of your religious organization. And then I'll let you jump in here, Mom, in a few. You know, that became a good question. You know, that's question 15 on the survey, but last week we were on question 16. Because the reality is when we're dealing with concerns, issues, being educated, being led by the Spirit in this area of PRF, possessions, resources, and finances, it doesn't come 1, 2, 3 ABC. So you have to be willing to allow the Spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct how we're going to have these conversations. And that's why we're on question 15 tonight, to be honest, versus question 17. Because the conversation and what you were experiencing, what everybody else who was here on the table was discussing, that's where it led. So did you have anything that you just wanted to bring before us, before we just really go ahead into it, Mama?
Yes, just about last week. And what really stood out on me, we were talking about, well, you made the statement about diversity is the key, and that we have to know that because I believe in Jesus Christ doesn't mean that everybody else believe in Jesus Christ. And so I should be open, you know, to everybody, because first you are a person, you're a human being, and Jesus Christ loves all of us. It doesn't matter what our beliefs are. He loves us unconditional, and we have to have that same love, because even when I wasn't serving Jesus, it was areas that he took care of, and as I look back now, it was nothing but Jesus. So that shows me that Jesus is no respecter of persons. So that means I have to, you know, examine my love walk and to see am I a respecter of persons. And this is and another thing too that you, we talked about, where you were talking about our audience. And our audience, I mean, for the most part, you know, we Christians, I'll say some of the Christians in the body of Christ, we want to stay with our own little group. But how can we grow, you know, because everyone has had an experience. You know, everyone has had some trials and tribulations. And we don't know when we personally in the body of Christ don't have a, you know, don't have a hold on all the trials and tribulations. So it's good to be able to have a reasonable dialogue with anybody, you know, and be able to help anybody if you see a need, because the most important thing is, do they have a need? And so since I'm a child of God, you know, and Jesus was a servant, and so Jesus, we are his hands now, because he's not going to come down here and do the work for us, but he can use us. So therefore, I should be looking for a need. Is there a need? And how can I help? How can I be a blessing? Can I say something encouraging to a person? You know? And if I'm not walking in love, then I'm very touchy. I'm very fretful. You know what I'm saying? So love, again, love is the greatest gift of all. And so it took me to the scriptures. That's one of the scriptures that you talked about was Jeremiah 3:3, love and kindness. And then the other scripture was 1 Corinthians 12:20, and I'm just going to read it. Yet many members, for we have one body. Romans 12:4, many members in one body, and all members don't have the same office. And that just lets me know no one has the same knowledge all the time. Because I can still have the same situation like someone else, but my knowledge of it's going to be different, because it's going to be tailored to what I was going through. And then another one you had was 1 Corinthians 12:12-31, but I only chose two for time. 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, for as the body, which is the church, is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 12:12-31 says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. And to me, it's saying our foundation must be rooted in love. And the scriptures also says, I mean, this is part of, not 12:31, but it is in, it's part of the 1 Corinthians 12:12-21. But I'm just summarizing up here. It says, although we have faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest because love alone make us like God. And I tell you, I really like that. I really like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was, and so everything that we are doing, it should be out of love, not because of what I'm going to get back from it. Oh, I know God's going to give me a blessing. We should have that kind of love in us, and which is agape love, that, look, you know, I just, no matter what anyone's done to me, what anyone has said to me, you know something, I forgive them. You know, I'm going to look at them having a bad day. You know, I have my bad days too sometimes, and I may not come off the way that I think I'm coming off either, you know, and just keep on going forward and just want to see the needs of people, because this is a hurting, people are hurting, and just a kind word can just make their day.
And amen. And something that you mentioned when you mentioned the church, so I'll just piggyback off of that. You know, everybody doesn't go to church.
Right.
You made some good points from last week's show that it is about diversity. A lot of it is about diversity, because diversity also can be a barrier to helping to address and meet the needs of people. We see that very much so within the Bible. So we have to be careful as people to be to the point where we really understand, again, that everybody doesn't go to church. And I'm talking to us,
yes,
the believers, the Christians.
Yes.
But also, there's a lot of people who do go to church. And I said this last week, even though a lot of people do go to church, they come to church with a lot of stuff on their mind. They come to church with a lot of things or situations that are inside of them. But a lot of people may not have people to go to express the things that they have inside of them.
Yes.
And it also could be that there may be some pride there, because you talked about it last week about, out of all these last couple of years, your pride held you back from getting some of the formatted resources that we talked about last week.
Yes.
Because of your pride. So
yes,
we know that needs must be addressed. But the question, the first question we can pose tonight is, which is where we're leading to, is who are the ones to address the needs? When we talk about these formats, so leading to the question, which, again, is the focus for tonight, for those who are just joining us, we're talking about question 15 on the survey, which says, identify all the people involved in addressing financially related needs to members of your religious organization. So when we talked about formats, how effective is the format without people to execute and assist in the delivery of those formats? So let's go back. Let's take a step back. When we talked about formats, we talked about training course. You can't do a training course by yourself, with yourself, for yourself. Doesn't sound right. You didn't create the training course for yourself. If somebody's involved in a training course, they're doing it for other people. Perfect example. I was asked to teach Vacation Bible School a couple of weeks ago. And when I opened up the material, I saw a name, and I'll have to give her a shout out, but I saw a name that said VBS coordinator. I was looking at the names of people involved in putting the Vacation Bible School together. And it said VBS coordinator, Joella Darby. Now, I know Joella Darby because we went to seminary together. I know she has been involved in the VBS at National Baptist. I know that. But it did my heart good just to see the name.
Yeah.
And Joella does not have any children. So you think about this, Vacation Bible School, but she's involved in coordinating this for all of the National Baptist Convention. So when she was involved in helping to put this together, she was not doing so for her. She was doing so for somebody else. So I want us to kind of think about that, you know. If she just did it for herself, it probably would not have been on the third grade level as some of the books were, on the teenage level as some of the books were, on the little bitty one level as some of the books and material was, because she's not in that age range. So if she would have been part of just building something for herself, those other formats would not have been out there. Does that make sense?
Yes,
so we can't get around that. These formats that we have talked about, you know, the training courses, the Bible study. Look, I teach on Wednesdays at my church. I don't teach it to teach to myself. I teach it for the people, but also I teach and allow the people to help teach me as well, because teaching is a two-way street. So unless we have people out there that are able to execute and assist and assist in the delivery of these different formatted resources that we talked about, what's the purpose? Last week I remember that y'all talked about small groups as one of the formats, right? It is one of the formats, but y'all really talked about it. And I remember somebody saying something like, oftentimes it's best that people lead small groups are individuals that actually experience whatever it is that we're talking about. So if I'm leading a small group relative to debt, it would be good if I have some type of experience with debt. Now, that doesn't mean I had to be in debt, because I could have seen how debt ruined the life of somebody else close to me, and I gained experience from what I saw happen to somebody else's life. So that doesn't make me unqualified to be able to teach on debt. As we talk about the people involved, I want us to remember that we're speaking of people as resources in light of providing resources. We're speaking, remember, PRF is possessions, resources, and finances. So this next piece for the rest of our show tonight, we're talking about people. Who are these people that are involved in delivering these different formats? Bible studies, Sunday school, training courses, one-on-one counseling. And here's where we left off. And let me say this. Although I said I'm talking about people as resources, the formats are not removed from people, nor are they removed from God. So it's not the people doing them within their own power. I don't want people doing things within their own power, speaking over my life or helping me in certain situations. I want people to be speaking from the power of God that's within them. And I also want to be able to connect. Now, this is me. I also want to be able to connect to those individuals who I know are doing things for the glory of God. See, to me, it makes a difference. There's a lot of people that, from my background, dealing with finances for years and teaching it and being involved in counseling and all those things, there's a bunch of people that I've encountered in my life that have gone to certain places to get help with finances. But the reason it didn't work, in my opinion, was because there was no true connection about helping that person become whole and being really healed or whatever the situation was. See, I can help clean up your credit with no problem. The reality is some stuff may just not come off of there, but some stuff may come off your credit report, because it may be on your credit report. It may be on there for 8 years, and it should have came off at 7. But maybe it didn't automatically come off, and maybe you didn't say anything to your credit report because you never requested a credit report.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some reasons, some things that are out there that we need people to kind of help us along on this journey. Because as we allow people to help us along on this journey, I think sometimes we get better results. Another thing that was mentioned also was about one-on-one counseling. I think y'all kind of hit that one home.
Yes,
and
yes.
I remember somebody talking about one-on-one counseling, and what I remember was that it doesn't always have to be the minister or the pastor.
Right.
Again, we're talking about people as resources that are dealing with helping people with their financially related needs or concerns as members of a religious organization. And I believe we went to Exodus 18, or it was mentioned. And it was mentioned about Exodus 18 that Moses, although he was great, he was favored by God, he was unable to do it all by himself.
Yes.
So his father-in-law, Jethro, had to come to him and say, hey, you're wearing the people out as well as yourself. So he was not being effective as a leader because he was trying to do it all by himself. And it wasn't until he listened to Jethro and listened to God and said, let me appoint some men of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Now, you have to picture that in the context of what it was. There was well over 1 million people with Moses because they were experiencing an exodus from Egypt going to the promised land. Well over 1 million. So can you see the responsibility that those leaders had? to put somebody over 1,000 men, to put somebody over 500 men. And that goes back to what you were talking about earlier, Mama. You were talking about everybody has something different.
Yeah.
So you have to have people that are relative to whatever that situation is, and we have to be ready. See, this thing is not all about the leaders. This is about you as the members as well. You have to also be ready. You have to also be willing to step up into your role, even if it's not something that you're going to do for the next 20 years of your life at that particular church. Maybe God only wants you to deal with this particular subject for the next 5 years. Doesn't mean you're supposed to be there forever. So go ahead. I'm going to be quiet. Go ahead.
Well, that's good. Now, did you want me to piggyback off of what you said, or did you want me to start answering that question?
What question is that? I don't know what I said.
About the format, about who the individuals that we would go to, and if we needed some help in our local church, what individual would we go to?
Well, let me give the people that we listed on the survey.
Okay.
But before I do that, let me go to the two most central questions for tonight.
Okay.
We're talking about identifying all the people involved, right?
Okay.
So the first question, this is where we left off last week. This is what we need to talk about. Who is qualified?
Right.
Who is qualified to be involved in addressing the financial aid and needs of you as members of the congregation or the religious organization? That's the first question. Who is qualified? And then the second question is, what makes them qualified? I can't answer that question for you in the context of your congregation. So that's what I want to, let's start there. You know, as you're looking at and understanding about the different needs that are there and what your needs are as a member, who do you say is qualified, and how do you come up with what makes them qualified?
Well, okay, in my church, all right, we have a board, and we have our pastor, assistant pastor, and of course, we have our pastoral staff. Now, in our format is that we can go straight to our pastor. You know, we can bring it to the assistant pastor, the pastor, we can bring it to one of the board members. But if the board members get it, they're going to give it to the pastor. You know what I mean? So we can just go to the pastor. He says that we have a need. We all have his telephone number. And then what he'll do, he'll present it before the board. You know, so the assistant pastor and, you know, the pastor and the board. And then it depends on each individual need. It depends on the individual need. And I know that my pastor's qualified from the, you know, he's been a pastor for years and years. Now, I only know what he said and the behavior that he has shown since I have been there. So that's all that I can speak on, you know. So I haven't personally gone to him for anything. But as I said, when there's a need, it is addressed. Now, I was thinking about, if it's a small amount of money, you know, say from 50, I say to about $100, the pastor himself can approve that. But if it's a large amount of money, like your mortgage, your rent, over that amount of money, then it goes before the board. So the pastor and the board, you know, takes care of that.
Now, think about the question that was posed.
Mm-hmm.
Who's qualified? Nothing that
you
said talked about who's qualified. So you gave who they're telling you to go to.
Right.
But what did that have to do with qualification?
Okay, now with qualification.
Hold that thought and let this caller jump in and let's see what they have to say. Caller from 2023, can I just say Shatara? Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you. Well, I was just listening, taking it all in. I wanted to say who's to say who's qualified. Mm-hmm. Among us, mm-hmm. none of us can say whether somebody's qualified. We all have been given gifts, right? So depending on the need, like you were saying earlier, that we all have to operate in our, well, you didn't say it that way, but that's how, what I glean from your statement, is that we all have to operate in our gifts. We've all been given a gift. And that's our choice, whether we share it or whether we keep it to ourselves. So, like I said last week, that God has qualified you based on the gift that he's given you. So not everybody can be a soloist. Not everybody can, you know, expound on the word, and not everybody can teach. But whatever your gift is, you operate in your gift, and God qualifies you.
Mm-hmm.
God qualifies you. Now, your testimony, something else we were talking about, your testimony also qualifies you. And God gives you the testimony, right? He's the one who helped you overcome that issue. So your testimony also qualifies you. So if you had a struggle with bankruptcy, which is the example we used last week, and you overcame it, you are now qualified to talk to me about it and help me overcome it if God mm-hmm. places that in your heart. Now, if you're that person, as Sister Adia said, that you don't know how to talk to people, then you're probably not the person to give the testimony and help me overcome it, right, if you're going to talk down to me, if you're going to be condescending about it. But God is the one, and our experience and our submission to God to use us and our experience and our testimonies is what qualifies us. That's what I feel qualifies us. So essentially, everybody is qualified if they submit and they are gifted in that area.
Mm. Mm.
Thank you.
go ahead, Mama. Go ahead. Run with it.
Okay. Well, and what I was going to say is that I don't know anything about them personally. All right. I only know what I have been shown and how I've been taught in the different classes that they have, and they've, you know, and that's what I go by, their lifestyle. We have bylaws, you know, which is pertaining to really the word, because they have a scripture to back up that.
But does your bylaw talk about qualifications of people to be the ones to provide various resources and needs in the church?
Okay, if they're in that position, they have to have character, and they have to have integrity. You know, they can't be having a bad reputation in the church, you know, by gossiping and things of that nature. Now, see, again, like she said, I can only go by what I see and what they tell us. And I know that, you know, that I know that one sits on the board. He is about finances, and he teaches finances. And he also teaches finances to us. Now, he sits on the board, you know. Now, whether that qualifies him or not, or the others that have experience, I don't know. So, see, that's all I know. But they are the ones that are making these choices. So I'm just believing that God has qualified them to do this, you know. But to say I know for sure, no, I don't.
Well, and I think that poses a question because, again, we have to always, in my opinion, we have to always consider what are other people thinking. Remember, we talked about barriers so many times on this show. We talked about individuals. Adia talked about that individual don't know how to talk to anybody, right? So that person may be very, very knowledgeable about finances. So is their head knowledge the thing that makes them qualified? Or is it, like you said, is it their character? Is it their integrity? Is it how they talk to people? Is how they express themselves? Is it how they allow God to communicate through them to somebody else for that particular situation? Because the reality is I'm very knowledgeable in what I'm knowledgeable in, but that doesn't make me qualified to deal with every financial situation that's out there.
Right.
So as we're looking to individuals, because I said it before, there's a lot of individuals that go to people because they have, quote unquote, the qualifications. But just having the qualifications is not good enough, in my opinion. Y'all can challenge me or y'all can chime in on that. I think you have to be looking at more than just the qualification. The resume only gets you through the door.
Right.
The resume only gets you an opportunity to sit before a panel or an individual to get an interview. But your resume doesn't help you to keep the job.
Right.
That's right.
It doesn't help you to keep the job. So one of the things that I will bring out about this qualification thing, or another thing, is we have to be very careful as individuals in disqualifying individuals. Because oftentimes it's the individual who you may not realize, who you may discount, that may be that very person that God has placed in your path to be able to help you with your financial aid needs, even inside of the church. Can you think about, what was that movie with Will Smith? He played the gentleman, I forgot the gentleman's name, who had the son.
Oh, yes.
Who was a homeless.
Oh, I can't think of it.
Oh, what's that movie? Oh, my gosh.
It'll come to me. Shout it out if y'all remember. But his wife didn't believe in him.
Right.
His wife had her own issues because of her perception of how the family life and what he was supposed to be doing as a father and as a husband. But somebody, I'm trying to get his name on top of my tongue, but somebody had enough confidence in him based upon something that was shown to him.
Pursuit of happiness.
Pursuit of happiness. There you go. Thank you.
Pursuit of happiness.
So by what was seen in him, somebody said, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Now, I'm not getting any royalties for saying this, so go watch the movie. But at the end of the movie, I could tell you today, this gentleman right now, how many people has he blessed because of his testimony, because of his struggle? We got a call that's on the line. Caller from the last four of 6490. Welcome to the PRF table.
I'm sorry, but I was just chiming in because I knew the title of the movie.
Thank you, brother. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, what's your thoughts on what we've been talking about so far? I know you've been listening for a while.
I think that everybody really has interesting points to the matter, and that's the great thing about this show is that it comes from different point of views and different backgrounds. So, you know, everybody has a brick to put onto the foundation to build upon the discussion that y'all are having. So, like you said, like I know there's been plenty of times, like you said, that my resume and the things that I have done in the past have made me qualified for a job, and it just got me through the door, but it didn't guarantee me the job. So, and another thing that you touched on is how you speak to people. You know, being prior military, and you know this too, we call it tact. You know, it's your tact, how you speak to somebody. If everybody, you can't present the information to them the same, because you may have a person who may can only receive information visually. You may have a person who can only receive information audibly. You may have people that can receive it both ways. It's different variables. So it all depends on that person, if they're rounded, and it goes back to training too. Training, that's the key thing. If a lot of churches are willing to train their people, or to send them to seminars to say, hey, this is how we want this information presented to the congregation, so that everybody is on one accord, then this is how we'll do it.
You know, that's a very good point. You know, I just left a church meeting, a church conference, and there was a discussion about sending an individual to the National Christian Education Conference. And there was some discussion. I won't even belabor our time on the PRF table with it. But one of the deacons said, the issue is when we send people to these conferences, we don't force them or we don't have a requirement for them to come back and share the information. I said, So if we're sending you to go and get information, but we're not requiring you to bring it back and to share it, what purpose is it, right? For the body. Here's what somebody else said. The problem is not that they're not bringing the information back. Y'all don't want to hear it. So when we talk about qualifications, right, when we talk about what makes somebody qualified, their training is important. Chitara, you mentioned training. You said experience. To me, those are almost synonymous terms because through my experience, I'm trained on what to do or what not to do, what I could have done better, what I could have should not have done.
Right.
I look at that as all being wrapped up in one big thing. So when I'm looking at who can help fulfill my financial related needs, if it's by means of teaching or if it's by means of providing something to me, I'm going to look for all those things that y'all talked about. I'm going to look to see if they're trained in this area, if it's something like a counseling session. I need to know that you have some credentials behind you. So let me go here. Here's the individuals that we have on the survey about the people involved in addressing. And again, the reason we have these different individuals was because we wanted people, as they're answering the questions on the survey, to be able to think about the people that are within their own congregation or within the realm of being able to provide these resources to them. So we have ministers and religious leaders as one. We have laypersons as another. We have community leaders as another. We have nonprofit organizations as another. And then we also have room on the survey for somebody to say what an other is, in case there's some one of those four is not what you actually have. So, Mama, you said, if I'm understanding you correctly, you talked about the people when you have needs, you talked about the ministerial leaders.
Yes.
But are there any other people, are there laypersons within the congregation that have that responsibility of helping to address financial related needs, or is it only just the pastor and the religious leaders, which in your case would be only the deacons?
Yes, it's only the religious leaders. I mean, it's the board, you know, it's the board and the pastor and the assistant pastor.
Okay.
Those are the ones that make the decision.
All right. So let me press into that a little bit. You also mentioned that you mentioned the board. I don't know what the board consists of, but you also mentioned that there's teaching, right? So the persons who are teaching, are they also on the board?
Okay. We only have one deacon, so we don't have a deacon board.
No, you mentioned that there was a person who teaches finances.
Yes.
He's a Marine. Is he on the
and
board?
Yes, he's on the board, yes. And he teaches finances to the congregation as well as, and he's on the board, yes. So that's why I know that he, you know, I know that for a fact because, you know, that's one of the classes that we can take.
All right. Now, my memory may be a little bit better than yours.
Okay.
Because you also mentioned that there was either community leaders or nonprofit organizations that help provide resources to members of your congregation as well.
Right. And that's that. Yes. And that's the Onslow Community Outreach. And that's first it comes to us, and then
And we're not talking about really the format because we talked about the formats, but we're really just trying to focus on that there are more people to provide resources to your congregation than just your ministers and your religious leaders.
Yes, we're associated with the Onslow community.
So the perception of the members matters. If the members only believe that the only people I can go to is the board or go to the pastor and they're the ones that's making all the decisions, well, that's not a true representation of what you actually have available to you. Now, what happens if I don't – go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, what happens if – what happens if there is an aunt between me and the pastor as a member of your congregation? Then that barrier is up there, and I don't have access to nobody else.
But they can still always go to the community, because that's for the whole count. That's for the community. Period.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's
okay.
Not just say if I didn't even know about say if I wasn't going to that church. That's on the internet. You know, and
how do I know
that?
As a person that just joined the church, as a person who just moved to your area, how do I know that?
Well, I didn't know it because I didn't really inquire. When I inquired personally, you know, when I was asking these questions at our business meeting, and that's when he was saying, you know, that. But I was the one that didn't know, because everybody else in there that was members before me knew. But I didn't know. So he explained it to me.
Yeah.
So
Shatara,
I don't know how it was before.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm, that's all.
So, Shatara, let me come to you.
Okay. You're asking the same question? How would the members of the community know who else to go to, or if they had an issue with the pastor or a member of the ministerial staff?
Right. If the person that is the one that I'm supposed to go to, if there's something preventing me from going to that individual, not just the internal things like pride, like Mama was talking about last week, but what about that person? Yeah, he's the one who's responsible for this, but he has a nasty attitude, so I really don't want to approach him. That's really not a thing about me. That's really a thing about how their disposition is. But if that's the only resource in the church, what do people do? If that's the only place or only person, excuse me, not the place, if that's the only person that we know to go to, is that one person who will distribute the information upon when it's needed, does that work for you?
Well, I would like to think that they would ask around to other, you know, amongst the other church members, like if there are other resources, but in all actuality, they probably don't. I mean, it's probably, you know, just like Sister Mary said, like she, you know, at that point where she was dealing with pride or concern about going to people, then they just do without a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't go. And so they'll suffer through whatever issue they're having instead of, you know, either taking it up with someone else or, you know, attempting to put those emotions aside and trying to approach that one individual. So sometimes you'll have to put your pride aside because it could be a total misunderstanding. If it's an actual situation, though, it's a valid situation or concern about approaching that individual, then potentially you may have to go to someone else in the church. Because, like, I mean, I don't believe that there is one person, even though that's the one person that's acknowledged that can help you. I always think there's an alternative.
Mm.
So, because you have to think that sometimes that one individual may not be available to you either. But if you are diligent about, you know, your efforts, then your efforts and you're seeking God in your effort, then I don't believe that he'll just leave you with that one option.
I agree. And so one of the things that I would take from what you just said is one of the barriers is not believing that there's an alternative. See, if we as members of the congregation only believe, if you as members of the congregation, which I'm the leader, believe that if I need something or if you need something, that you need to come to Pastor Dunlap. If that is your mindset, if you don't have access to Pastor Dunlap, then the likelihood of you being in a position or a place of lack is a whole lot greater, right?
Right, right.
So what we have to be willing to do is, as members of the congregation, we have to be willing, and this is just my opinion, but we have to be willing to press our religious leaders to be able to say, what is out there? See, and I'm going to just speak from my community because, you know, I like to bring it home. There's no reason in the world why the information about if you have these needs, this is who you go to, should not be posted information where everybody has access to it. When I'm in need, it's not the time to have to go and contact Chautauqua. Do you know who I could get some help from?
Right.
Well, I don't know. Let me go call Sister Mary, and you call Sister Mary. But at the same time, depending on the seriousness of that need, what is that doing for me? What is that saying about us as members? How disconnected does that actually look? So I want to – the thing that God is leading me to do is try to help people to understand that we have to have the resources, talking about the individuals. Those individuals have to be identified for every congregation. And if we can identify them within our congregation, we can also identify what we don't have in our congregation. You never know how, but think about a jar of pennies. I'm going to have to find a jar of pennies and put it on the Facebook page. But think about a jar of pennies. I don't know if this fits you, but I can tell you it fits me. I know I've been had a couple of times in my life where I had to go to the jar of pennies. I know y'all rich folk listening, you know, y'all haven't had to do that. But I had to go to the jar of pennies or the jar of coins. And I had to go to the jar of coins because I needed a certain dollar amount. When I went to the jar of coins and I started rolling those coins up, if I needed $100, the time to find out that I only had $82 in the jar was not at the time that I actually needed to be rolling pennies to get this $100. Because after spending all that time and energy, what happens when I finish rolling the last coins and I realize I only got $82? That's where I think a lot of people are. A lot of people are at a place sometimes, from my experience and the people that I deal with or have dealt with, that they go to a church, or I won't say a church, that they've come to our church and they got a little bit, but then they still don't have the rest. So since they don't have the rest of it, or the church, my church may not give them the rest of it, the question is for that individual, the question for us tonight is, what else do they do? Do they sit there with $82 and still have a flat tire? Do they sit there with $82 and still have their lights cut off? Do they sit with $82 and know their lights are going to cut off in the morning? Or should there be some other resource between a community that has umpteen amount of churches in it that can help make up the difference?
There certainly should be another multiple resources, because there are lots of churches on various or multiple churches in a single neighborhood. So there certainly should be resources that the individual can go to. But I can tell you from just a recent experience with someone I know that, you know, the lights getting turned off is the reality that they just, you know, they don't feel comfortable going to the resources, or they have gone to all of the resources they know and it hasn't turned up anything. So the lights end up getting turned off. So this is the thing, you know, because it just so happens with that individual that, you know, God has been putting that individual on my heart. Just, and I'm thinking, why is she popping into my head?
Right.
But when I had the conversation and I was like, oh, that's why she's popping into my head. But, I agree that it should be readily available. The resources should be common knowledge, at least to the members of the church, so that they can direct anybody that comes into their path that has a need to, you know, to wherever they may need to go. So they can speak knowledgeably about, you know, potential resources for that individual instead of, you know, I don't know, let me, like you said, let me make some phone calls and see. But by that same token, you know, are there resources available in the church?
Oh, yeah, y'all trying to go somewhere.
But I've also gone to, you know, churches where, you know, we talked about tithing and offering and the building fund and the bathroom fund and the wallpaper fund and the missionary fund and the, you know, and the children's church fund and the, I mean, and you're funded out before you even get the word. I'm like, okay. So you need that jar of pennies so you have enough money to give to, the, you know, all of the funds, and then you get to the offering. So I'm like,
my mercy.
So that's the thing, though. The reality is that sometimes the churches don't have the resources, you know, resources, certain resources, and not just monetary resources. I'm talking about certain resources are just not present in the church, and that may be because, for one, people are not using their gifts, and they're not making it known, or, you know, it's not being identified, but whether it be by the ministerial staff or the individuals, that the need is there. So,
and that's interesting that you said that, sister, because in my church, you know, I don't know who's qualified, who's not, because, you know, of course, they are Marines. The majority of our church are Marines, and so, you know, we just know that they're Marines, you know what I'm saying? But I never hear anything about who's qualified for what or whatever. I don't hear that, so I don't know who's qualified because, you know, it's never mentioned.
And here's two ways of looking at that. We can look and see if you say, if it's known, if it's common knowledge that if you need something or if you need a particular thing or are having an issue or concern, go to brother such and such or go to sister such and such. But the question that I start asking is, what if brother such and such or sister such and such doesn't have what I need? Does brother such and such or sister such and such know who to send me to? That's how this thing comes full circle. I'd never say that every church is designed to have everything. But when I talked about the survey, I need everybody, I'm saying I need, but it would be a good thing if everybody could identify what is available to them at their own so that they can see what's not there. The $82 versus $100 worth of coins.
Right.
Because I don't need to wait until I need it, and then I come and you don't have it. So if I needed food, the time of finding out that my church doesn't have a food bank is not when my children are starving.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I know that God is doing with all that we've been talking about and how he's leading me with on this path, on this journey, is to help churches and religious organizations, for that matter, to be able to help to develop a list of what their resources are. And if I can help the churches in my community, let me just speak about home. If I can help the churches in my community to be able to identify when people have financial-related needs in my particular church, the people that are involved in addressing those are the ministers and the religious leaders. Then the next step is which religious leaders and which ministers. Because just don't come to me because I'm a minister thinking that I'm the one that's going to be able to help solve your need. Just because I'm a minister, that's an unfair assessment. Because you said, Star, everybody doesn't have the same gift. And I may have a talent, but I may not have it as a gift. So I may not operate that thing within love because it's only a talent and not a gift.
Right, right.
I may use my talent to make money. I use my gift to show God's love.
This is true.
I mentioned last week to y'all about Acts chapter 6, and I may just leave us hanging for next week's show. But in Acts chapter 6, it says, as the believers were rapidly multiplying, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against a daily distribution of food. So the 12, talking about the 12 apostles, they called a meeting of all the believers, and they said, we should be spending our time teaching the word of God and not running a food program. So select seven men, and here's where we can probably end for tonight, because we started out talking about qualifications, right?
Mm-hmm.
Select seven men who are well-respected, one qualification. Full of the Spirit, another qualification. And wisdom, another qualification.
Mm-hmm.
Just with those three things alone should have everybody thinking about who is it that is in my sphere of influence within my particular church body
right. That
is well-respected, that is full of the Spirit, and is going to operate with wisdom to be able to help address financial related needs in my church. I believe that if we ask those questions, if we ask those questions of our leadership, if we ask those questions of God, God is going to do just like he did in Acts chapter 6. He's going to lead and direct.
Mm-hmm.
You may find out, Sister Mary, that it ain't nobody on the board. You may find out that it's that 18-year-old young man who God has given, full of his Spirit, has given wisdom to, and is well respected among the people in the congregation, that may do better than the people that we select because they have talents or they have certain man-made qualifications.
Right.
My degree in finance doesn't make me the individual that you may need to come to as a member of a congregation to deal with financial related needs.
Right.
But this is what I like. What the apostle said was, you find those individuals, and then we'll give them the responsibility, because we should be spending our time praying and teaching the word of God.
Right.
Then it says, everybody liked the idea. They accepted what the apostle said. So they had to be in a position where they was respecting leadership. They had to be in a position where they trusted leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm your pastor and I say, 17-year-old Johnny May, if you got any issues with finances and you need some help, go see Johnny May. Some folk are going to say, Johnny May ain't but 17 years old.
They sure will.
But as I may preach on Sunday coming up at a service, let them not despise you of your youth.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny May would be my encouragement. And if they don't want to go to Johnny May, then they don't want to get their needs met. Because if God leads and directs me to telling you as the members of the congregation, this is the one right here.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't trust me, then that's a whole other problem. Why are you sitting up under me?
Right.
So let me go on. So they chose the seven, right? One of them, Stephen. And they were presented to them, meaning the apostles, who prayed for them, and they laid hands on them. Here's what I want everybody to hear. Verse 7 is so great. We look at, some of us look at these chapters, this Acts chapter 6, and we don't really focus. Some of us have not focused on verse 7. So God's message continued to spread.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem. And many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Folks, we're talking about transformation. The message spread. Believers increased. And those Jewish priests were even converted. All because the apostles made a decision not to try to handle things themselves, but involved the people in the process of making determination of who was qualified and who wasn't. And they didn't do it without God being involved in the process. So I know that may be kind of deep for some, because what that is saying, it seems like, and what I'm saying is, some of us may need to evaluate who we're dealing with. I'm not the one to help everybody's financial related needs. I should be the one to help the ones who God sends to me, or the ones who God sends to me, or the ones who God sends me to. Because if God is not in it, we may be mixing with the wrong batch. Mama, did you have anything that you wanted to bring? I mean, we can keep on going, but I think I'm done for the night.
Yes. Well, as we know, chapter 6 was, to me, it was really, it can be about three different topics, but for me, because it says about, it's about the deacons and it's about Stephen, you know. But to me, it's also about the widowers, and it's also about delegating, you know, not wanting to do it all yourself, you know. And as I see, as because I did talk with my pastor, and that's, you know, that's the way it is, you know what I'm saying? And so there's no one else for me to go. I mean, say for me, any other person for me to go to, unless I would go on, let's say, a personal level, because I'll go to him, and the way it's set up, they're not going to go against the pastor, because they'll tell me, you take it, this is what you take to the pastor. You know, this is just, this is how they are, you know what I mean? And so in my situation, that's the way it is. But I also know, because I've been in a situation where there are, back home, there are many churches and missions. And the mission will give you, say, you first, you get all your money except for $75. And when you get all of your money, then they will give, you know, right, give the check, but of course they write to the whatever, the utility or whatever. You know what I mean? So there's churches and missions, missions also working together. And there's churches that give you food. And back home, we all knew where they were. We all knew where they were. So for me, why I didn't make a choice not to go to my church, because I knew that I could go, if I was really in strain, in which I was, I just went to the, you know, I went to this particular church, and they gave me most of the money. And then after I got most of the money, I went to the mission and got the rest of the money, you know. But see, here, it's different. You know what I mean? Nobody talks about anything. You don't hear anyone say anything about anything. Back home, those things were just talked about just in general, you know. But at this church, and even the church I came from, they're not talked about.
Right.
See, so you don't know who to go to, and they'll say, well, I don't have no money. You know, someone say, well, I don't have no money. I wish I could help you, but I don't have no money. So, and you're not really asking them for money. You're asking them for resources. So sometimes they get offensive. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a lot. This is really important, what we are discussing, because we should be able to, you know, go to the church and get our needs met. You know what I mean?
It's,
you know, and we know that sometimes it has to be sometimes you have to have, like you were telling me, Nate, about, you know, y'all wanted to know why this particular person didn't always come to the church for money at a particular time. So, you know, investigations sometimes have to go on, but you still, I think a person should, a member of a church still should feel comfortable enough to know that, hey, I can go here, you know, and it's not going to be a, I know we have to, before I said, you know, we have to take accountability too, you know. Now, if you lose your job, and you're doing, but those of us that, you know, do have money coming in, we have to take accountability also, you know, for how we spend our money. But with that also being said, you can do that, and still things just happen.
Right.
Things happen in life, and you should, because things happen, don't put me in the situation where they always just come into the church for money. No, I'm not going to be paying nobody's rent. I'm not going to, you know, I've heard that too. We're not here to pay your rent. You know what I'm saying? Don't put your tithes and offerings in the plate. You know what
then
I mean?
They need to, stay at
you're
home.
You're not going
to
be paying your rent.
Say it.
They need to what?
They need to stay at home because that's not about community.
Right.
When we read Acts chapter 4, you know what it says? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and doctrine.
Right.
That's what it said.
Right.
They sold people who had possessions, sold their possessions, and brought the money to the apostles' feet so that everybody's needs were met.
Right.
Now, let me tell you what was going on. If we want to talk about church, let's talk about church. In Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, they were there for the day of Pentecost. They were there from at least 11 different regions, there were about 11 different groups of people that came to that one central place to worship God.
Yes.
You know what Acts chapter 2 doesn't say? It doesn't give you the breakdown of who those people were in those 3,000.
Right.
When you go back to Deuteronomy, it doesn't tell you who the people were that enjoyed the goodwill when they brought their tithes to the central sanctuary. It doesn't say what tribe they came from. Everybody had a responsibility to bring their tithe, but everybody partook of it. So the reality is, and I hate to be a critic of the church, but I can speak about mine, and I can speak about the ones in my community. God, I can't say this. I can't put it like that. I'm tired of seeing an individualistic mentality about how church is supposed to operate. It can't be about, if it's about my lights on in my church, if it's about my mortgage in my church, and if everybody thinks like that, then you'll never have people sharing resources between each other.
Right.
So there are some barriers between the churches that need some men of love placed in between it, so that we can come together as churches and religious organizations within our community. Because if we can do that, what you just said, Mama,
yes,
about those comments, what I mentioned about, I remember a couple weeks ago what I mentioned, that story I read you, and I told you it was true, about people, somebody came to the church in a conversation with the pastor, in a conversation with the deacon.
Yes.
And we don't do that here.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that's not the God response.
Right.
That's a worldly response. I'm not going to give to you because of what you've done. Really?
Yes.
Nowhere in the book of Acts, chapter 2, nowhere in the book of Acts, chapter 4, was there anything or is there anything written about a board having to convene about giving somebody something in need. God don't operate like that. But church and religious does. No attack on your church, Mama, because I'm speaking about home as well. I'm just keeping it real.
Right.
That's not the godly way to do it. The godly way is operating by the Spirit of God. The godly way is operating by wisdom. But when you have comments coming like that from church folk, from religious leaders, then there's already a barrier up that prevents people from coming because you heard it and you talked about your pride. I'm not going to allow you to just say it was all about your pride. It's about the crap that you heard coming from other folk inside the church. So if you hear how they're talking about other folk, why in the world are you going to go approach them?
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Shatara, go ahead. I said I was done for the night, but Mama got me stirred up, and I need to just go ahead and...
I think y'all got to cover, but, I mean, just to piggyback off of what you just said, that, you know, that is certainly not operating in the spirit of love when you're judging somebody based on their circumstances. Are you saying we don't do that here when you know they have a clear need? I want to also say that it is important that we make very public the resources that are in the church and also outside of the church. I had a conversation with my pastor a while ago, actually. It was a good while ago. about my frustration with, you know, everybody, the churches are siloed. So they, everybody's functioning in their own little church. We're all supposed to be Christ-like beings and following Christ. But if we're all following Christ, then we all should be going in the same direction.
That's right.
That's one direction. He's not going in 50 different directions because that's not what he's about.
Right.
So if we're all following Christ, then we're all going in the same direction. So why can't we come together and go in that direction together? So it's very important to publicize the resources we have, as well as network with the other churches, because if we don't have that resources and the church down the street on the other corner does, and they have a member that needs our resource and we have one that needs theirs, why can't we be that, meet the needs of those people? Just because they don't belong to our church, that's not a good reason not to meet the need when we're all supposed to be helping one another. So
you stepping in something there.
Yeah.
You know, and
so that's it. You can go ahead, Sister Mary.
What was coming in my mind is that I had heard that, you know, with some you know, and I know this to be a fact, you know, some pastors don't want their members associating with other members of the church.
Yeah.
Of different churches, you know. And so right there, that's a barrier, because like you all are saying, you know, I needed help and I went to the Methodist church. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And but I wasn't attending a Methodist church, but that didn't matter to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I proved that I had a need and they helped me. So, you know, and the body said we are one body. We are one. We're supposed to be one, but we are so divided.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say that we are so divided, because that's putting it out there and really discounting all the ones that are united.
I don't mean it negative. I'm just saying that, you know, to be on one accord, you know, and we are the body of Christ. Like now this is the first time I've heard anyone teach the way you're teaching on this. Because it's just something that's not talked about, you know, not thought about, you know. And then, you know, when I'm talking about me, been in situations where I know that I'm definitely not going to ask because I done heard about this other person needed help. And how did I hear about that? Because I heard somebody talking about it. So I'm feeling like, you know, I ain't going to go there, you know. And so, you know, and then after a while, this is when, and I said it's pride because I said my thing, I don't want nobody knowing my business, you know. And I don't have any evidence. I don't have any evidence that this would happen at the church that I belong to. You see what I'm saying?
And that's okay for you to have that. I don't think it should. You know, you would think that when you go to the church with a need that it should stay with the church, that, you know, the need can be met without it being broadcast across the church.
Right.
So
right.
I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, you're saying that you had, you know,
I just
your business spread out there. So
yeah, you know, I just felt that if I go to, you know, say for instance, you know, you had a church and I had a need and I go to that need, I don't think that the whole congregation need to know about it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because this is a matter between me and the church, and I come for a need, and then I don't need to hear another sister say, yeah, I heard that, you know, you had your lights turned off.
Right.
You know, and I know I only told one person, you know, so that's what I'm saying. And that, I mean, because I've been in these situations, and that also had something to do with my, you know, with me just saying I don't want nobody to know my business, so therefore I'm just not going to. I'm not making that as an excuse, but that's just where I was. Until you all started opening up, you know, opening my mind, you know, and I am teachable, so I'm receiving this, you know, and this is just a blessing for me,
Mary,
you know, because it's about my need.
We got about 20 seconds before it cuts us off, so we're going to have to wrap it up for the night. We definitely appreciate everybody for being on with us this evening, and maybe we'll start talking about some barriers next week. So join us again next week. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget, you can go to the Facebook page. We can continue with this conversation. So God bless you, and we love you.
Good night.